Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom, and Shabbat Shalom to all those who are watching with us today. So praise Yahweh for that. I want to start in Psalm 133 because I want to talk about a word today. You may have heard it. I know you've heard it in the English, but I hope you may have also know this word in the Hebrew from a song we sing. And the word is called Hineh. Hineh, which means in Hebrew, behold, behold, right? And the word picture with the hands in the air, like as if praising Yahweh and giving glory to Him. So Psalm 133, right? A Song of Ascents of David says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren living together, even in unity. So the word Hineh, Hineh Matov, right? Hineh Matov, behold how good. And it's used many times in Scripture. If you do a word study on this, you'll see it many, 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 I don't know if it's hundreds of times, but a lot of times that it's used because it's a prophetic marker to look at what's coming next. So I've said this for years, there's a couple of prophetic markers. One is in that day and at that time. When you see that phrase, it's a prophetic marker for the end time. But when you see a prophetic marker for Hineh, behold, it's look at what's coming next. What's coming next is not only prophecy, but it's sure prophecy. So Yahweh puts that word in there, Hineh, so we don't have to guess, will it happen or wouldn't it happen? Possibly, no, it will happen if the word is there. So it's a sure thing to happen when you see that. Isaiah 7 in verse 14. Isaiah 7 in verse 14, right? Very famous prophecy about the virgin birth. So Yahweh himself will give you a sign. Hineh, behold, the virgin will conceive and will bring forth a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Elohim is with us. So again, here we see, right? Before Yahweh gives the sure prophecy, it's not a guess of what's coming. It's not an, kind of what's coming. It's no. When you see Hineh, behold, once you see that, it's a prophetic sign that this is sure. This is 100% going to happen. Let's go to another one, Isaiah 65, 13 and 14. So Adonai Yahweh says this, Hineh, behold, my servants will eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, Hineh, my servants will drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, Hineh, my servants will rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. And verse 14, behold, Hineh, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry from heartbreak and howl from breaking of spirit. So this is a messianic prophecy, right, of the kingdom of the followers of Yeshua and the covenant people, what they're going to be doing compared to the other people. But you see this, Hineh, 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 behold, 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 showing these things are for certain, right? It's a prophetic marker to look what's coming. It's prophecy. It is sure to happen. Let's go to Amos 9. Amos 9. Another famous prophecy of the end time. We've read this before, but let's look at it from this, eyesight today of the Hineh, behold marker. Amos 9 and verse 8. Behold, right? Hineh, the eyes of Adonai Yahweh are on the sinful nation. I will destroy it from the face of the earth, only that I will not completely destroy the house of Jacob, declares Yahweh. So he's talking about the nation of Israel in the end time, right? The things they're doing wrong, how they're going to get chastised, but not completely. And again, it's a sure prophecy. He says, for behold, Hineh again, I will command and I will shake the house of Israel among the nations as one shakes with a sieve, yet not a grain shall fall to the ground, right? Yahweh is in control of everything. That's the point of that word, Hineh. It's a prophecy that's sure that will happen exactly like Yahweh says it. All the sinners of my people will die by the sword. Those who say the calamity shall not draw near or confront us, right? That's what they try to say today. Oh, no, that's not going to happen. They don't understand it. In that day, right, in that day and at that time, so this is end time, I will raise up the sukkah of David, the tabernacle of David that has fallen, right? 2014, Yahweh revealed this. I've seen it many times. I bring in elders there. And I will wall up its breaks, and I will raise its ruins, and I will build it as the days of old. Very, very important prophecy because of that cornerstone that's there at the tabernacle of David. so that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations of whom my name is called, declares Yahweh, who is doing this. Behold, Hanay, the days are coming, declares Yahweh, that the plowman will overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who draws the seed, right? So we see how fast this is going to come at the end. And the mountains shall drip new must, and all the hills will be dissolved. And I will bring back the captivity of my people Israel. We've already seen it. And they shall build the waste cities and live in them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine of them. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. So, very, very clear. Another prophecy that's there for this. Jeremiah 33 and verse 14. I'm not going to go through all these beholds today, but I'm just trying to show you, without a shadow of a doubt, this is always what that word means. In that context, of course. Jeremiah 33 and verse 14. Again, we see, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will fulfill the good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, again, so it's end time, I will cause a branch of righteousness to grow up to David, and he shall do judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell in safely. And this is the name that shall be called on her, Yahweh Zadokeinu. Yahweh Zadokeinu, Yahweh our righteousness. So again, behold, this is going to happen. It's prophetic. It's 100%. You just have to believe it. And here's a really interesting one, because it's an Old Testament prophecy about Yeshua being revealed. It's in Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62 and verse 11. Isaiah 62 and verse 11. Hinei, behold, Yahweh has made it heard to the ends of the earth. Tell the daughter of Zion, Hinei, behold, Yeshua comes. Behold, Hinei, his reward is with him in his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of Yahweh. And to you it shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. So, wow. I tell the story, I was sharing the scripture with somebody on the streets of Jerusalem one day, and as I'm reading right here, I'm getting to this point because I'm reading all of Isaiah 62, and I say, behold, Yeshua comes, a whole group of Orthodox just came around the corner, and they all turned as I'm saying this, and they're listening to that prophecy that's there. So, again, the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, originally was written in Aramaic, which is a dialect of Hebrew, so to speak, very close languages. So you would expect to find this also in the New Testament, and we do. Matthew 23 and verse 37. Matthew 23 and verse 37, right? Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, the one killing the prophets and stoning those sent to her. How often I desired to gather your children in a way a bird gathers her chicks under her wings, and you did not desire it. Behold, Hanay, right? It's not in Greek. That word is not a Greek word. Behold, Hanay, your house is left to you desolate. And here we are, right, 2,000 years later. Who is the only tribe of the 12 tribes that has not come into the new covenant is, of course, Judah. We see in Acts 4, even many priests were joining the new covenant. But Judah is the only, as a tribe, that has not come in. But we know that they will. There's still hope for Judah. I've given them many messages. But we see, behold, Hanay, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, in no way will you see me now on until you say, Baruch Haba, B'Shem Yahweh. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. So even in the new covenant, we see the term, the prophetic term, Hanay. One more I'm going to give right here is Revelation 22. In the Brit Hadashah, in the New Covenant. Revelation 22 and verse 7. Behold, Hanay, I am coming quickly. Blessed is the one keeping the words of the prophecy of this book. And when you understand Hanay, right, you understand that Revelation is an end time book. It's all written about the end time. So in the last chapter, chapter 22, right, we see behold right there. And then verse 12 again. And Hanay, behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to give each according to his work. So, wow, here we are. We're at that time, which shows Yeshua is coming soon, because Hanay. Hanay, it is sure. It's a prophecy. It's sure to happen. And we are in those times, right? That time is now. So, Let's go to Genesis 37, because I'm going to get into another aspect here, which is kind of the real purpose of the sermon, but I had to start by showing you Hannah in the meeting, because we are going to continue with that, but in a little different form. Genesis 37, and it's with one of the sons of Israel, Yosef, right? And Yosef is a type of the Messiah. We see that the Messiah in Scripture, we see the suffering Messiah and the reigning Messiah, and we see that both with Yosef. We see Yosef as a type of Yeshua, right? Where his patience and his endurance and all the things he goes through, without a shadow of a doubt, he's a type of Messiah. And we see that he suffers the way Yeshua suffered, and we see he also reigned the way Yeshua will reign. So I think actually one of probably the most powerful examples of a type of Yeshua is Yosef, the son of Jacob, in Scripture, and particularly being an Old Testament, or let's say a Tanakh example. So I'm going to start in verse 1, and we're going to see again the word Hanan come in here a little bit, because this is when the dream that Joseph had, not the dream that Pharaoh had, but the dream that Joseph had when he was still a youth. And Yaakov, Jacob, lived in the land of his father's travels in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph of son is 17 years. So he's giving the generations, right? We know that Rachel was the true covenant wife. So the first son of Rachel was Yosef. So that's why Yosef, in the line of being the firstborn, Yosef is truly has the right of the firstborn. So these are the generations. Yosef, a son of 17 years, was feeding the flock with his brothers, with Bilhah's sons and with Zilpah's sons, his father's wives. And he was a youth. And Yosef brought an evil report of them to the father, right? Just being honest. Yosef being honest. And Israel loved Yosef more than all his sons because he was a son of old age to him. And he made a coat of many colors reaching to the feet. They actually found in Egypt a statue of a person at the time that Yosef was there. He was a really predominant figure, and he actually had a coat of many colors like this, that they had the statue that was made. So his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all the brothers, and they hated him, and they were not able to speak to him for peace. And Yosef dreamed a dream and told it to the brothers, and they increased to hate him even more. So here's where it starts getting interesting, right? And he said to him, now hear this dream which I have dreamed, and behold, Hanay, right? So this is not just a dream. It's not just something he's thinking up. He's not just sitting in his bed thinking, oh, I can't wait till I'm, you know, leading my brothers. No, this is a prophetic marker. This is really, really important. And so that's why it starts out with Hanay, behold. We were binding sheaves in the middle of the field, and behold, Hanay, my sheaf rose up and also stood up. And behold, Hanay, three times, your sheaves came around and bowed themselves to my sheaf, right? Exactly what was going to happen. And what did I say? When you see this, it's a prophecy, but not just a prophecy, it's a sure prophecy. And did it happen just like this? Of course it did, because it was Yahweh prophesying. And his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Shall you really rule over us? And they hated him still more because of his dreams and because of his words, and they weren't his dreams, right? It was the dreams Yahweh was giving him. So let's continue. And he dreams still another dream. And he told it to his brothers. Wow, you would think by this time he'd be like, uh-oh, I better not tell them. But no, because when you look at that word behold, you look at the word Hanay, it's where Yahweh is in control and something prophetic is going to happen. And the one who's dealing with it is not really worried about the consequences. They're only worried about staying within the will of Yahweh. And he dreamed still another dream. Behold, it was to his brothers. And he said, behold, Hanay, I have dreamed another dream. And behold, Hanay, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing themselves to me. And of course, he's talking about that's representative of his brothers, the 12 tribes, or 11 tribes. He's the 12th. And he told it to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream you have dreamed? Shall we indeed come to bow ourselves to the earth to you, I, your mother, and your brothers? And his brothers envied him, but his father was attentive to his word, right? So the brothers were just mad. They don't see Yahweh's purpose in this. But the father's attentive. Why? Because behold, this is prophecy. This is going to happen. So When we go now it gets even more interesting, because this is what I want to show you, because now we're going to see the word hene, but it's going to be another form in verse 12. And his brothers went to feed the flock of his fathers in Shechem. I'm going to continue in 13. And Israel said to Yosef, are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. And he said to him, I am here. So what is that word, I am here? It's the first person singular of Hene. It's Hanani, right? So it's the same type of word. It's prophetic. But he's saying it's not just, oh yeah, I'm here. You know, like someone calling, hey, is anybody there? Oh yeah, I'm here. No, this word is one of the most important words in Scripture, because this word is not just that I am here, but I am here, meaningly, I believe. I am here to fulfill the prophetic message. So it's a form of Hene, it's Hanani, the first in the first person. I am here, meaning he is ready to take the call, right? To fulfill the prophetic destiny of Yahweh, no matter what the circumstances are. So in the English, I am here, you don't get that. In the Hebrew, that word Hanani is an extremely important word. And where in Hebrew, we see the word Hene, like I said many times, maybe hundreds of times, this word is not here that much in Hebrew, because in the Bible, there weren't really that many people that were ready to take that call. So no matter what the consequences, he believed in faith, he would never look back or doubting, right? From Hene is the word Hanani, meaning the person is prophetically saying he will fulfill the purpose no matter what. So come, I will send you. And he said, here I am, Hanani. And he said, now go see the welfare of your brothers and the welfare of the flock and bring word back to me. And he sent him out the way of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. So, and then we know what happens, right? They take Joseph. He winds up being sold as a slave. He winds up getting falsely accused. He gets put in prison, not for a few days or a few months, for 13 years he gets put in prison. Then he comes out of prison. He winds up telling the dream to Pharaoh, becoming first. So now when he's in charge there, right under Pharaoh in Egypt, and his brothers come, is he looking for revenge? Is he saying, I lost, you know, at this point, he's 40 years old now. I lost 23 years of my life. I'm going to get even with my brothers. No, he's not. Look what he says. Genesis 45. And this is why the word Hanani is so important. Because like I said, it's not just I am here, but it's I am ready to fulfill your purpose, no matter what the consequences are. And no matter what happens in life, when you say Hanani, you're seeing the bigger purpose. You're seeing Yahweh has a bigger plan in your life than just your personal welfare or safety. So Genesis 45 and verse 4. And Joseph said to his brothers, now come near to me. This is after he's revealing, I am Joseph. And they're scared to death because of what happened. But look what he says. And they came near and he said, I am your brother Yosef, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be grieved, and let no anger be in your eyes because you sold me here. For Elohim sent me before you to save life, right? He saw the big picture. For the famine has been in the midst of the year 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which no plowing and harvest will be. And Elohim sent me before you to put a remnant in the land for you and to keep alive for you a great deliverance. And now you did not send me here, but Elohim, and he has placed me for a father to Pharaoh and for a master in his house and a ruler in all the land of Egypt, right? So Hanani, he saw the greater purpose. He saw that his brothers didn't send him there. Yahweh sent him there. Why? He's placed me there to save life. He's placed me there to save life. And when we're called by Yahweh, are we looking at it the same way? Are we looking at some of maybe the physical suffering or physical purification, let's say, not even suffering, but physical purification we go through in this life is there to fulfill the purpose that Yahweh has in our life? Let's continue in Genesis 31. Just like I said, this word is not there that many times, but it is a powerful word, and it is a prophetic word. Genesis 31, starting in verse 1. And this is what Jacob, right now, whose name was later changed to Israel, when he married his wife, Rachel and Leah, and he is up there working for Laban, right? His father-in-law, and Laban's taking advantage of him, and let's see what happens here. And I heard the words of the sons of Laban saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father, and from that which our father has gotten his wealth. And Jacob saw the face of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And Yahweh said to Jacob, go back to the land of your fathers, to your kindred, and I will be with you. So it was a point where Laban was not a converted person, and it was a point where it was time for him to go. He was used to, for a purpose there, but now it's time for him to go. And Jacob sent and called for Rachel and for Rachel to come to his field, to his flocks. And he said to him, I see your father's face that is not toward me as before, but the Elohim of my fathers has been with me. And you know that with all my power I have served your father. And your father has cheated me and has changed my wages 10 times. And Elohim has not let him do evil to me. And if he said this, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks were speckled. And if he said this, the stripe will be your wages, then all the flocks were striped. Right? When Yahweh is for you, who can be against you? And Elohim has taken away the livestock of your father and has given it to me. And it happened at that time, the flock was in heat. I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams were leaping on the flock, were striped, speckled, and spotted. And the messenger of Elohim spoke to me in a dream, right? So this is now the messenger of Elohim, which is Yeshua, is coming to him, and he's saying, Jacob, and what does Jacob say? I am here. Hanani, right? So there's other ways in Hebrew to say I am here. Hanani is not the way you normally say it, right? So Hanani is where it's not just, oh yeah, I'm here. Hanani is, like I said, it's prophecy. It's he's saying, I am here. I'm ready to take the call. I'm ready to fulfill the prophetic destiny of Yahweh, no matter what the consequences, right? That's Hanani. It's not just I'm here. And he says, I am here. And he said, lift up your eyes and see all the rams leaping on the flock. They are striped, speckled, and spotted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the El of Bethel, right? There where you anointed the pillar, where you vowed a vow to me, right? So this is where, why is he saying Hanani? Because he made the commitment the same way we do when we're baptized. When we're baptized, we are making a vow. We are making a commitment. We are saying Hanani to Yahweh. Now rise up, go out of this land and go back to the land of your kindred. So he was fulfilling his purpose where you vowed a vow to me. So here we see, right? We see that Jacob was blessed because he took the call and was ready to serve Yahweh and all. Let's look at another story here. 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And Samuel is one of the most loyal, dedicated servants that we see in Scripture to Yahweh. Started as a young boy. And let's see how Samuel came to be that servant of Yahweh. 1 Samuel, I'm going to go through 1-11, then drop it down to verse 15. 1 Samuel 3. Verse 1 through 11, then drop down to verse 15. And the boy Samuel was ministering to Yahweh before Eli. And the word of Yahweh was rare in those days, right? They didn't have a lot of prophetic hearing. There was no breaking through vision. And it happened at that time, Eli was lying down in his place, and his eyes had begun to dim, and he was not able to see. And the lamp of Elohim had not gone out yet. And Samuel was lying down in the sanctuary of Yahweh where the ark of Elohim was. And Yahweh called to Samuel, right? He's just a little boy, a young boy at that time, right? And Yahweh called to Samuel, and he said, behold me, Hanani. Behold me, Hanani. And he ran to Eli and said, behold, I am here, you know, Hanani. So he didn't know it was Yahweh because, like I said, there weren't these prophetic voices at that time. He's just a young boy. He's hearing a voice calling him. But what is he saying? He's thinking that it's Eli. And he's saying, Hanani, I am here. I am ready to fulfill whatever is my purpose, whatever is my destiny. And he ran to Eli and said, behold, I am here, Hanani. For you have called to me. And I said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. And he went and lay down. And Yahweh again called Samuel. And Samuel rose up to Eli and said, behold me, right, Hanani. For you have called me. And he said, I have not called you, my son. Go back and lie down. And Samuel did not know Yahweh, and the word of Yahweh had not been revealed to him. And Yahweh again called Samuel the third time. What does the three mean? Resurrection, right? Unity. So it's showing three times. You know, just like when, remember when Yeshua was resurrected, and he's asking Peter, do you love me? You know, when somebody's asked something three times, it's a surety. It's a unity. It's a surety. Like I said, it's the number of resurrection. So it's showing that Hanani, without a shadow of a doubt, I may be a young boy, but I am going to serve you. I am going to fulfill the purpose you have in my life. So he called him the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, behold me, Hanani, for you have called me. And Eli understood that Yahweh was calling the boy. Now he understood. And Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if one calls you, even you shall say, speak, O Yahweh, for your servant hears. Right? Hanani. And Samuel lay down in his place. And Yahweh came and stood and called as the other times, Shema, Shema, Samuel, Samuel. And Shema said, speak, for your servant hears. Right? He was saying, Hanani. And Yahweh said to Samuel, behold, I am doing a thing in Israel which 2 ears of every hearing it shall tingle. Hene. So the first thing Yahweh says to Samuel is Hane, what he is going to do. Behold, look what I'm going to do. And what is Samuel saying? Hanani, I will follow. I will follow. I will follow. Whatever it is, I'm ready to take the call to fulfill the prophetic destiny you have in my life, no matter what the consequences. He believes in faith, never looking back or doubting, right? You could say Hanani today, but if tomorrow you're going to look back, if you're going to doubt, if you're going to question, that's not Hanani. That's not Hanani. That's simply, oh yeah, okay, I'll try it. I'll give it a try. So, but if you're going to be a servant of Yahweh, there has to be no doubt. You have to walk in faith, understanding, because when Yahweh says Hanani, it's a prophetic utterance, meaning it is sure. That's what he says here. He says, Hanani, I am doing a thing in Israel which the 2 ears of everyone shall tingle. Drop down to verse 15. And Samuel lay until the morning, and he opened the doors of the house of Yahweh. And Samuel was afraid to declare the vision to Eli, because what was the vision? And Eli was going to lose his position because he didn't take care of his children the way he should have. And Eli called Shmuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, here I am, Hanani. Once again, I am here. I am here. I am here to fulfill my prophetic purpose. And he said, what is the word which he has spoken to you? Please do not hide it from me. May Elohim do so to you and more if you keep back anything from me from all the words he spoke to you. And Samuel told him all the words, and he did not hide from him. And he said, it is Yahweh. He does that which is good in his eyes. And Samuel Shmuel grew up, and Yahweh was with him and did not let any of his words fall to the ground, right? Hanani, he did it perfectly. He followed through. He did not let any of Yahweh's words fall to the ground, because Yahweh says Hanani, and Samuel said Hanani. Yahweh said, this is the prophetic utterance that's going to happen. It happened exactly like Yahweh said with Eli and his family. And Samuel said, I am here to fulfill your purpose. And he did it exactly like he made covenant with Yahweh to do. Wow. Samuel was faithful to fulfill the purpose of Yahweh. None of his words fell to the ground. Let's look at somebody else that Yahweh used in a great prophetic way this way in Exodus 3, right? Exodus 3, starting in verse 1. And Moshe was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, right? Where is Midian? Midian, we've been there already multiple times now, is in Saudi Arabia, where Mount Sinai is. And he led the flock behind the wilderness and came to the mountain of the Elohim to Horeb. We've been up there, even at the cave. And the messenger of Yahweh, Yeshua, appeared to him, to Moshe, in a flame of fire from the middle of the thorn bush. And he looked, and behold, the thorn bush was burning with fire, and the thorn bush was not burned up. And Moshe said, I will turn aside now and see this great sight, why the thorn bush is not burned up. And Yahweh saw that he turned aside to see, and Elohim called to him from the midst of the thorn bush and said, Moshe, Moshe. And he said, Hanani, I am here. Moses said, right? He's not just saying, oh, look, look, I'm here in this spot. He's saying, Hanani. He's saying, I am ready to fulfill your purpose in my life. No matter what the consequences are, I believe, there's no doubt, I believe in faith. He said, Hanani. He said, Hanani. He was ready to forsake everything, right? He was the prince of Egypt, possibly could have been Pharaoh. And he was ready to forsake everything for the great purpose and calling that Yahweh had in his life, never doubting, never looking back. Hebrews 11. Let's look what Hebrews 11 says about this. Hebrews 11 in verse 23. Hebrews 11 in verse 23 says, being born, Moses was by faith hidden by his parents 3 months because they saw he was beautiful, a beautiful child, and they did not fear the king's decree. Having become great, Moses by faith, right? Because to say Hanani, you got to do it by faith. You got to believe in faith. There's never a doubt in Hanani. Moses by faith refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, having chosen rather to suffer affliction with the people of Elohim than for a time to have enjoyment of sin, right? He said Hanani. Having counted the reproach of Messiah greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking for the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the anger of the king, and endured as if beholding Elohim who is invisible. By faith he made the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, that the one destroying the firstborn might not touch them. And by faith they passed, verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as through dry land, by which when the Egyptians made the attempt, they were swallowed up. Wow. Right? He believed Yahweh's prophetic utterance, and he fulfilled his calling no matter what the consequences were. Moses took a higher calling of serving Yahweh through much trial, through much purification, even though he could have reasoned, right? He could have said, well, hey, if I just wait and, you know, wait my time out, Pharaoh's going to die. Maybe I'll be the next Pharaoh. Nope, he didn't look at it that way. He followed Yahweh's calling. He said, Hanani. Genesis 22, maybe one of the greatest examples of this in Scripture. Father Abraham, when he sacrificed Isaac, right? Because, wow, there is no greater example of Yahweh having a son and sacrificing his son for the sins of everybody than this story we're going to read right here. It's the perfect example, and Abraham was the perfect student, pupil, you know, that he fulfilled the example perfectly the way Yahweh wanted him to. So let's start reading it here, Genesis 22. I'm going to read 1 through 8, then I'll drop down to verse 11. And it happened after these things, the Elohim testing Abraham said to him, Abraham, and he said, Hanani, behold, I am here. Hane, I am here. Hane, Hanani, behold, I am here, right? So he's not just saying, oh yeah, here I am, Father. No, what did we say? He's saying, I am here to take the call. I am here to fulfill the prophetic destiny you have in my life, no matter what the consequences. I believe it in faith. I know it's going to happen, and I'll never have any doubt. He said to him, Abraham, and he said, Hanani, behold, I am here. And he said, now take your son Isaac, your only one whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, the land of Moriah, and there offer him a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I say to you. Wow, this is kind of shocking to him, right? After Yahweh said he's going to be the heir, you know, of all eternity through that seed, right? But Abraham believed it. He believed it. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and he took two of his youths with him and his son Isaac. And he split wood for a burnt offering, and he rose up and went to the place which Elohim had said to him. And on the third day, remember three, the number of resurrection, the number of unity. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young men, you stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there that we may worship and may return to you, right? So did he believe he was going to kill him? Yes. Did he believe Yahweh would raise him up? Absolutely. So he was going to fulfill the purpose no matter what the consequences, but he 100% trusted Yahweh that he would also fulfill. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, right? Just like Yeshua took the wood of the crossbeam on his back when he went to be crucified. And he laid it on Isaac, the way that the wood was laid on Yeshua, his son. And he took the fire and the knife in his hand, and the two went together. And Isaac spoke to his father Abraham and said, my father. And he said, Hanani. Hanani, behold, I am here. Hane, Hanani, behold, I am here. And he said, see the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering. And Abraham said, my son, Elohim will see for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And the two of them went together, right? So here we see both were willing participants. Both were saying Hanani. Both were willing to do it. Because when you look at the age of Isaac here, Isaac was probably around 16 years old. When you look at it, somewhere around that time. Abraham, at the same rate, is about 115 at that time. So Isaac could easily overpowered him and went away. But he willingly, the same way Yeshua willingly took that crossbeam on his back to die for the sins of all humanity, Isaac willingly was ready to go and be the sacrifice if that's what Abraham wanted. The same way Yeshua did it because that's what Yahweh the Father wanted. And what did he say? Hanani. Hanani, I am here. I'm ready to fulfill that purpose. No matter what the consequences are, I am going to put blinders on like a horse and follow Yahweh on that straight path. Never looking to the right or to the left, never doubting, never looking behind, but Hanani, I am going straight ahead. And they came to the place where Elohim had said to them, and Abraham built an altar there. Oh, let's drop down to verse 11. And the messenger of Yahweh called to him from the heavens and said, Abraham, Abraham. And what did Abraham say? Hanani. Hanani, I am here. I'm ready to fulfill the purpose. I'm ready to do it. You want me to sacrifice my son? It don't make a difference because you're going to have to raise him up. That's your job. But I will do it. And Abraham said, Hanani. And he said, do not lay your hand on the boy, nor do anything to him. For now I know that you fear Elohim, and you have not withheld your son, your only one from me. Just like Yeshua is the only son of Yahweh. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a ram behind him was entangled in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Yahweh Yireh, so that it is said until this day, in the mount of Yahweh it will be seen. Yahweh will see to it. Yahweh will provide, right? And the messenger of Yahweh called to Abraham out of the heavens a second time. And he said, I have sworn by myself, declares Yahweh, that on account of this thing you have done, and have not withheld your son, your only son, that blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the lip of the sea, and your seed will possess the gate of its enemies. And in your seed shall all the nations be blessed. Why? Because you have listened to my voice. Because you said Hanani. Because you made that vow. You made that commitment. You made that covenant relationship. And you never looked back. No matter what the consequences were, you were going to fulfill the purpose that I called for you. The prophetic purpose. No matter what it is. Never doubting in faith and never looking back, right? Person is prophetically saying he will fulfill the purpose that Yahweh has in his life. He said, Hanani. So he was fully convicted to serve Yahweh no matter what. He was ready to take the call in full faith, and Yahweh blessed him for saying, Hanani. Let's go back to Hebrews 11 and see what it says about Abraham. Hebrews 11 and verse 17. Hebrews 11 and verse 17. By faith, Abraham in his trial offered up Yitzhak, and he laid on the altar his only son, whom he had received by promise. Now listen why he did it. As to whom it was said, in Yitzhak your seed will be called. And he reasoned, Abraham reasoned within himself, that Elohim was able to raise him even from the dead. And because of this, Isaac was given to him as a parable. Right? Wow. Wow. So he was ready to do it, not only because his faith in Yahweh and because he was going to do anything that it took, no matter what the consequences were, but because his faith was so strong and he believed in the promise of Yahweh, that he knew that if he had killed his son as Yahweh had commanded him, that Yahweh would have had to raise him up. Wow, what faith? What faith is there? And he said, Hanani. He said, Hanani. Acts 9, let's look even in the New Testament. Like I said, that was written originally in the Aramaic. We see the same term also used, not as much, but we do see it. Acts 9, in verse 10 through 14, then I'll drop down to verse 17. And this is when the Apostle Paul was called. And Kenaniah was going to go and lay hands on him. And look what it says. Acts 9 and verse 10. And there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Kenaniah. You know, the grace of Yah. Grace of Yah. And Yahweh said to him in a vision, Kenaniah. And he said, Behold, Master, I am here. He said, Hanani. So Yahweh called to him, and it was like, whatever you need, Father, whatever it is, I'm here. I'm ready to take the call. I'm ready to fulfill my destiny, no matter what the consequences are. Never forget that. If you say Hanani, you have to deal with the consequences. But in the end, you have the faith. All things work for the good, because whatever the purification of those consequences may be for a small time, the end result is going to be 1,000 times more than those small consequences for saying Hanani. So he said, Behold, I am here, Hanani. And the master said to him, Rising up, pass along on the street being called Straight, and seek a Tarshish, Saul, by name, in the house of Judas. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Kenaniah coming in and putting a hand on him so that he may see again. And Kenaniah answered, Master, I have heard from many about this man, how many bad things he did to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind the ones calling on your name. Right? So he's saying, wow, this guy, Shaul, and all people you're sending me to, this guy may kill me. He may, you know, put me in prison. He may do whatever. But he still said, Hanani, he still said, I'll go. This guy is a bad guy, or he was at that time. But if you tell me to go the same way that Abraham said, if you tell me to kill the boy, I will do it. And Kenaniah said, I will do it. In verse 17, and Kenaniah went away and entered into the house, and putting hands on him, on Saul, he said, Brother Shaul, the master has sent me. Yeshua, the one, appeared to you in the highway on which you came, that you may see and be filled of the Ruach HaKodesh. Right? So he wasn't afraid what Shaul was going to do. He wasn't afraid of the consequences. He simply said, hey, Hanani. He was ready to go out and fulfill the call, whatever it was. He took the call. Kenaniah was faithful to do the job, whatever the consequences, because we know whatever the consequences, all things work for the good. Romans 8:28, that whatever the short-term purification is, when we say Hanani, the blessings that are going to come later are going to be 1,000-fold. Isaiah 58, because this is a really interesting scripture. Because like I said, when you look in scripture, you see Hanani many, many times. Do a word study. You'll see all over the place, because Yahweh has a lot of prophetic words. But you don't see Hanani that much. You don't see that many times where people were taking that prophetic calling and people were saying, yes, I want to do it. I'm here. I'm ready to serve you, no matter what the consequences are. But look what Yahweh says about those people that say Hanani. Look at what Yahweh says about those people who do take the call, about those people that do believe in faith, about those people that never look back. Isaiah 58 in verse 8, he says, Then your light shall break as the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of Yahweh shall gather you. Then you shall call, and Yahweh will answer. Right? So he's saying, if you follow this, if you're following the light, if you're doing the right thing, you don't have to worry. When you call, Yahweh is going to answer. Then you will call, and Yahweh will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Hanani. Yahweh will say Hanani to us. If we follow him, if we're following in righteousness, we're going to cry to him, we're going to call to him, and he's going to say, Here I am. He's going to say, Hanani. He's going to say, I'm ready to fulfill the purpose in your life that I'm calling you for. Then you shall call, and Yahweh will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Hanani, here I am. If you put the yoke away from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of vanity, and if you let out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom shall be as the noonday, right? So it's a matter of Yahweh will respect us and Yahweh will answer us when we say Hanani, which means when we stop accusing other people, when we stop making excuses, when we stop putting a blame on somebody else, and we take the personal responsibility as Abraham did, as Jacob did, as Samuel did, as Moses did, as Joseph did, right? And many other people. Then Yahweh will say Hanani to us. He'll say, I am here. I am ready to fulfill that purpose. And Yahweh shall always guide you If we do this, Yahweh will always guide you and satisfy your soul in dry places, right? So it doesn't matter if you're alone in a time. It doesn't matter if you're in the wilderness. Yahweh will give you satisfaction to your soul. He will make strong your bones and shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Wow. That's what Yahweh is, right? He's the living waters. That's what represents Yahweh. That's why the sanctuary of Yahweh, the temple, had to be above living waters where the Gihon spring was, because the Gusher, because that's the only living waters there in Jerusalem. And that's what it says. Yahweh is connected with living waters. Yahweh will say Hanani to those who are ready to take the call. He will be there for them. So again, it's not just the words, though. It's the action when we look at it. It's not just the saying. It's following through with it. And part of it is not being a victim, you know. Joseph wasn't a victim. Moses wasn't a victim. Samuel wasn't a victim. Because when Yahweh is calling you and you're saying Hanani, you're not a victim. You are the most blessed person in the world, as we saw with Abraham. That by Abraham saying Hanani, Yahweh said, I say Hanani back to you. And you will, your seed will be the heir of all of this, right? So we look from Abraham's seed, not just Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but also comes to the 12 tribes of Israel, particularly Judah, and then King David, and then Yeshua himself, and all of us. If you are in Messiah, you are Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise, Galatians 3:29. So if we are believers, we're all heirs of Abraham. When Abraham is resurrected, he is going to be amazed at the physical seed that came through Yeshua, but also all the spiritual seed that has happened for the last 2,000 to 3,000 years, and all the people that he is the father of, you know, Father Abraham. And really interesting, you look at the three major religions today, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, all three have Abraham as the father. After that, oof, it gets messy, right, all over the place, because they don't have pretty much nothing else in common, but they all have Abraham as the father in common. So Yahweh will say Hanani to those who are ready to take the call. What a great scripture that is in Isaiah 58. Proverbs 25 and verse 13. Right? Are we ready to say Hanani? Are we ready to say Hanani? Like the cold, Proverbs 25 and verse 13 says, like the cold of snow in harvest time, so is a faithful messenger to those sending him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters, right? Are we that faithful messenger? You know, is Yahweh sending us? Are we saying Hanani? And if we say it, that means we're being a faithful messenger. Like I said, we don't look to the right or to the left. We follow whatever Yahweh says. We're not making excuses. We're not looking back. We're never doubting. We're following through because it's a prophetic utterance. It means it's got to happen. And you've got to believe it with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? So are we like this? Are we that faithful messenger that Yahweh is sending? Are we that faithful messenger that Yahweh is sending? Are we faithful witnesses? Are we saying Hanani? And one of the things over the last year that Yahweh really showed me that I thank him for every day, you know, because I have hundreds of things I thank him for, but I thank him every day that he trusts me enough to put me over this work, this worldwide work that we're doing. He could put anybody over it. And it's not just, you know, like I thank him for all my pathetic weaknesses that I have, that he could still use me. But if he didn't believe that I could do this job, and he didn't believe that, you know, because if I don't do it right, that I could hurt people, he would never put me in this position. And a lot of times, the only reason Yahweh hasn't put us in a position to serve more is we haven't said Hanani, that we haven't taken the call, that we're not in faith moving ahead, and we're afraid. We keep looking to the right and looking to the left, and what are we going to lose, and how can I do this, and thinking about money and the cares of the world, right? But you can't serve two masters. You'll either love the one and hate the other, or you'll be attentive to the one and despise the other. You can't serve Yahweh and Mammon. So if you're always worried and doubting of what the consequences are of saying Hanani, you're never going to say it. Hanani is where you say that with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And like I said, when I asked Yahweh, you know, because I'm not the smartest person. I'm not the most talented person. There's other people that have way more spiritual gifts than I have. And when I said, Father, why did you call me? And I've told people this, the answer was very clear, because you wanted it more than other people. And that's true. And I do want it. And I want it, and I want to serve him every day. And I say Hanani. I say Hanani. Here I am. And I hope you're saying Hanani too. So are we that faithful witness that Yahweh is sending? John 20 in verse 19. John 20 verse 19 says, "Then it being evening of that day, the first of the Sabbath, and the doors having been locked, where the disciples were assembled, because of fear of the Jews, Yeshua came and stood in the midst and said to them, Peace to you, Shalom Aleichem. And saying this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then seeing the master, the disciples rejoiced. Then Yeshua said to them again, Shalom Aleichem. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Right? As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And as he's sending you, are you saying Hanani? Are you saying, I am here, I am ready to take the call, I am ready to fill the prophetic destiny of Yahweh in my life, no matter what the consequences? Are you believing in faith and never doubting? Are you saying Hanani? Are you saying Hanani? As Yahweh sent Yeshua, he sends us. He is sending us, and are we saying Hanani? Matthew 20, in verse 18, 28, in verse 18, the Great Commission, right? Do we realize this? Do we realize for each and every one of us, we are part of a worldwide work? And yes, there's judicial order. Yes, we're working together, but each of us has a part in that. And each of us has to fulfill the role that Yahweh's given us. Each of us has to say Hanani. Matthew 28, verse 18, and coming up, Yeshua talked with them saying, all authority in heaven and earth was given to me, right? It's about authority. And people that go out on their own, they do not have that authority. That authority was given to Yeshua. Yeshua gave that authority to the 12 apostles, who gave it to each person they ordained and ordained and ordained. And that authority was laid on me. And I've laid hands on many other people and given the authority. But without the authority, you can't do it. Then having gone, disciple all nations, right? It's about discipling, making, bearing fruit and making new disciples. Disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Ruach HaKodesh, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days to the completion of the age. I am with you all the days until the completion of the age. So are you ready to fulfill the Great Commission? Are you ready to say Hanani? Because like I said, if you look in Scripture, you can get a concordance and you could look it up. You look at how many times the word Hanani is there, you know, many, many times, because not every prophetic utterance, but most prophetic utterances, you see the Hanani, behold, beforehand. But how many times you see Hanani? Not that many. Not that many. For many are called, few are chosen, fewer are faithful. And once you say Hanani, there's no turning back. Because it's a matter of faith. It's a matter of doing it in faith. Luke 19 and verse 37. Luke 19 and verse 37. Because you know what? Yahweh's word is going to be fulfilled one way or the other. It is being fulfilled. As I speak, it's being fulfilled. Every day we live, it's being fulfilled. And it will be fulfilled. Hanani. Hanani, it's the prophetic utterance. It will be fulfilled. There's no doubt about it. Much of it already has been fulfilled. When we're looking at Israel being a nation again, at least a third of the scriptures have already been fulfilled already. And everyone else will be fulfilled exactly like he says it, right? But will we be part of it? Will we be part of it? Luke 19 and verse 37. And says, as he was already drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, all the multitude of the disciples began rejoicing to praise Yahweh with a loud voice concerning all the works of power which they saw from Yeshua, right? Saying, blessed is he, the one coming in the name of Yahweh, Baruch Haba, B'Shem Yahweh, the King, peace in heaven and glory to the highest. And some of the Pharisees from the crowd said to him, Rabbi, rebuke your disciples. Can you imagine? They're fulfilling prophecy, right? And these Pharisees are saying, rebuke your disciples. In answering, Yeshua said to them, I say to you, if these should be silent, the stones will cry out. If these will be silent, the stones will cry out, right? So you could put a Hanani before that. Hanani, if these be silent, the stones will cry out. Because that is a given. It will be done one way or the other. Whether we will fulfill the great purpose that Yahweh has given, or the stones have to cry out and do it. And I say, what a sad day, and tears will come from my eyes if I look around and see a stone crying out and giving the end time message that Yahweh's people should be given. So if we don't do it, who will? If we don't do it, who will? Last scripture I want to get into is Isaiah 6. Isaiah chapter 6. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, then I saw Yahweh sitting on a throne. I saw Yahweh sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Wow, that must have been awesome. Above it stood two seraphim. Each had six wings, and two covered his face, two covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to the other and said, Kadosh, 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 three times, right? Is Yahweh of hosts. All the earth is full of his glory, right? Yahweh is set apart to everything. And the doorpost shook from the voice of the one who cried, and the house filled with smoke. Then I said, woe is me, for I am cut off, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among the people of unclean lips, right? All of us. Every person, every human is a sinner, falls short of the glory of Yahweh. So it's not about being good enough to do the job. It's about saying Hanani. It's about wanting to do the job. I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, Yahweh of hosts. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, snatched with tongues from the altar. And he touched it on his mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is covered. Now listen to this. And I heard the voice of Yahweh saying, whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? That's what Yahweh is saying today. Whom will I send, and whom will go for us? And what's the answer? Then I said, Hanani, here I am, send me. Hanani, are we saying that every day in our prayers to Yahweh? Hanani, send me. I'm ready to go. Send me, send me. Look at this world. Look how terrible it is. Look at how much out of hope they are. And look how many people out there would love to hear the truth and just haven't had somebody to come to him that share it. Shame on us if every day of our life we're not going out and we're not bringing that truth to other people. Yahweh is saying, whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? And then I said, Hanani, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. And I hope as you're hearing this right now that you are saying, Hanani, here I am, send me. All of the true servants of Yahweh say Hanani. And like I said, can't just say it for a day. You can't just get excited at a message. It's got to be with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. It's meaning you're ready to take the call. You're ready to fulfill the prophetic destiny of Yahweh in your life, no matter what the consequences. And those consequences may be prison, it may be suffering, it may be heartache, it may be death. And there's people that won't even give away a stupid smartphone that's connected with the mark of the beast to say Hanani. Because if you're living in some kind of sin, or you're not fulfilling Yahweh's purpose, you can't say Hanani. Hanani is where you're surrendering everything to him. The same way that Abraham did, the same way that Moses did, the same way that Samuel did, the same way that Joseph did. It's a total surrender to Yahweh in saying, there ain't much here, but whatever's here, Hanani, you could use. You could use whatever is here to fulfill your prophetic destiny, no matter what the consequences are. I believe in faith, there's no doubt. Use me. Out of 8 billion people in the world, Yahweh could have chosen anybody. And yet he's chosen you. He's chosen you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you right now. And you know I'm talking to you. So don't look away. You know I'm talking to you. Like I said, when I asked Yahweh, why would you choose me? I'd be the last person I'd probably choose. He said, because I wanted it more. And that is true. That is true. I said, Hanani. Our calling is so great and special. Yahweh would only call somebody who really wants it. Yahweh is calling me, and Yahweh is calling you. Are you saying? Anani. Yahweh bless. Shabbat Shalom.